You're listening to The Fillers Interview with The Story of's singer and keyboardist Crispin Hersher, recorded on February 6, 2006. I had a chance to speak with Crispin regarding the band's decision to move from Athens, Ohio to Austin, Texas, around the recording and release of their album Foothill Highway Appalachian Road, as well as what the band's currently working on with their new album. I'm kind of curious about the band's decision to move from Athens to Austin. Could you tell me a little bit about how that decision came up and how the idea arose and everything like that?
Certainly. Where to begin? Well, for starters, none of us were from Athens. We went to school there, and it was just like a small, you know, mountain community. And so we met everybody there, and to be honest, I kind of went to college in hopes to find some like-minded musicians, and, you know, I got my degree in audio production, so it just kind of worked out that I could get a degree in something that I was doing for fun anyway. But Athens is a really, isolated place, and, you know, although it's like a college town, it's pretty isolated, although it's, you know, beautiful and all that. But we decided that we wanted to go somewhere where we would have a little bit more options in terms of music, media outlets. And, you know, there are a few reasons behind our decision. Most of it obviously was the media stuff that is down in Austin, you know, not just music, but there's film and all the tech stuff here. That's pretty cool. And we're interested in a lot of that stuff, and we do a lot of, you know, cross-media kind of things.
So had you guys attended South by Southwest or anything like that before you went down there, or what was your exposure to Austin before moving down there?
Well, we really just came down and visited, like, one time. We really didn't know much about it except for it had 300 days of sunshine a year, which I'll be honest was a legitimate, you know, reason why we moved here, because Ohio in the Midwest in the winter is like 5 to 7 months of gray every freaking day, and it drives you mad, you know. So we kind of ruled out Chicago and Boston, which we were thinking about too.
Yeah, that would definitely rule out Boston.
Yeah.
So pretty much you guys just all five of you guys got together and just decided that you were just going to pretty much just dive right in there?
Yeah, I mean, we were already pretty dedicated beforehand. I mean, we all lived in the same house in Athens, and we did, you know, like a regional touring and stuff, and we all knew that this was something that we really enjoyed doing and, you know, being with each other because, you know, we enjoy each other's company and everything, so it was kind of a unanimous thing, like, where do we go? Where do we go next? And we just kind of talked about it, and Austin was kind of worked out, so.
So where did the move and the decision to move and things like that fit in with the writing and recording of Foothill Highway Appalachian Road?
Well, we recorded that in Athens, and I actually had done a first kind of mix of it, and we released a limited release of it before we left. And then when I came down here, I finished mixing it, you know, did a little bit more thorough of a job. And to be honest, Phil, like the commute down here was pretty much a year of depression for everybody. And it was because, you know, we were trying to get our feet on the ground, not just in the music scene, but with our lives, you know, like trying to afford to live here, you know, just popping down, you know, basically drive down in a car and like, all right, I got to find a job and I got to do it fast. So that took everybody a while to kind of get where they were comfortable. And so the music, as far as writing, it kind of went on hold for way too long, in my opinion. And we were just playing out insanely when we got here. And now the songwriting is completely, you know, back in our lives and almost entirely like,
Well, what exactly is the writing process for the group?
Well, pretty much, me and Alex will do like the core writing. Alex is the other singer, guitarist guy, and we're very we're kind of like architects about it. Like, you know, I don't know if mathy is a good word, but we really kind of think about what we're going to do before we dive into it. And obviously, like, the melodic nuggets are the building blocks, but we still sit down and kind of construct it in our minds and think, try to figure out what we think will feel interesting. And then once we get a good rough draft down, which we normally do on, like, a DAW or something, we'll take it to the band and we'll all learn it together, and it will evolve, you know, to the point where you couldn't even recognize the quote rough draft that, you know, we came up with. So everybody has a part in the writing. I'd say the skeletons are probably written by Huff and I. And then we take it to the band and kind of work out all the little bugs. And, you know, it's really been a chore, like, writing, getting back into it, because we lost our bass player.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. You know, he's a really great guy, like a nice guy and everything, but he didn't play the bass when he joined the band, and we figured that it'd be better to have a good soul in the band, like a good person who, you know, is down with everything, isn't going to have an ego or argue, and, you know, just like a good bandmate.
Yeah.
And he was. But unfortunately, like, when we really needed him to get better at his instrument, he wasn't able to do that, either because of his determination or because he physically couldn't. It was kind of like we asked him to step down, and he kind of chose that way anyway. He's like, you know, I think I kind of want to because I can't play very well. That happened, and then, you know, we were in, you know, the music capital of the world or whatever, so let's find a bass player in Austin, and we met so many egos, you can't believe it. And we ended up going with this kid that we knew from Chicago, who we met in Athens, and he's an awesome dude. He biked across the country for a nonprofit foundation that he started for his cousin, who had a terminal disease, and he just, you know, biked ocean to ocean, and then he did the next year he biked from like Canada all the way down the coast on California side or the West Coast or whatever. And he's just a really, you know, real good guy, and he's a really great bass player. So it's been really nice having him, and he's only been down here. He moved down here like 4 months ago, I'd say. And I'll tell you, when Jeremy, our bass player, was gone, our creative gel just exploded, and we pretty much wrote half of our next record that we're still working on now.
So you're still in the writing process and just kind of have some demos going on right now?
Yeah, we have a 6-song demo that we just finished a few weeks ago of the first half of the album. And all the songs, I mean, they're still our style totally, but we kind of just, you know, understood what we were doing in excess and kind of trimmed it down and them a little bit more pleasing in terms of just like, we kind of took out a lot of the screams for starters. I think we kind of started doing that because we're like, what can we do here? Hey dude, scream a little bit. Yeah, that worked. So, you know, we think about this stuff a little bit more than we did. And then we've got a lot of, like, different instruments we're working with now, like a trumpet and a lot of acoustic guitars, and Alex plays the keyboards as well now, so, or piano, I should say. So that's pretty much how the new songs have been going. They're a lot more musical, and, you know, but they're still kind of super proggy.
Yeah. So are you planning on recording the album yourself?
Yeah, probably. We met some real nice guys here in Austin who have studios. It seems like everybody and their brother has a studio down here. So, it, you know, it's a blessing in disguise, I guess. And this guy down in San Marcos, which is a town just south of Austin, has a really cool studio and all analog, a really nice one. And so we're probably going to go to different studios to track different things, but I'm going to mix it myself again, and we'll probably have somebody else master it this time.
Cool. So do you think you guys are going to release like a virtual version of this album as well?
Yeah, we probably will. That worked out really well for us last time. We sold like 10 times as many virtual albums, you know, as far as website hits. You obviously can't sell those at shows, but when somebody would go to the store, you know, it's cheaper and it's the same thing. And two of the guys in our band work at Apple Computers here in Austin, and so they obviously infatuated with like the Apple computer culture, if you will. And so they're all about making, you know, we have video cast and podcasts and all that crazy stuff. And the Foothill Highways virtual site was spruced up a little bit with that kind of stuff. But just in 2 or 3 days, we're putting up a new website and we're taking down the virtual album and making it available to everybody. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
Oh, cool. So obviously you guys have just had this technology interest in the group, and is that how you decided to do the album release in that way?
Pretty much. I mean, it's something that you can't deny that there's so much, you know, music downloading and people like I haven't bought a CD for a long time. I just buy my music on like iTunes or something, and it's just kind of easier that way. You rule out like the wasting of plastic and stuff like that, and just get straight to what they'll probably do anyway. Because if you buy a CD and you have an MP3 player or whatever, you'll probably just import it and put the CD in on a shelf that you'll never touch. At least some people do it like that. So that was a huge reason why we went that way, and also all the other multimedia stuff. Like Jeremy was a graphic designer, and so he kind of threw up a ton of content and did a real good job at making that site. And we have friends who work with us that do video stuff all the time. So we had a like four or something, just little, well, one real video and three like kind of stupid little things that people can look at.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of content on the virtual CD.
Yeah,
So,
cool.
I have a question regarding the video for the song "A Dark Cloud" and Scorpius. Where did the footage for that video come from?
I believe it's there's this organization, what are they called? It's an open source like government website that has all this old government footage that's open source, and I didn't make that. One of our friends made that, and I believe that he got it from there. And I think he cut together a few different ones, a few different cartoons that were done by the same like animation artist to kind of make it look like, or to make it feel like that there's a story behind it that, you know, wasn't in the originals or whatever, that kind of goes along with the song. That's where that stuff came from.
And then I was reading on your MySpace page that you had a song featured on Miss 17 on MTV. How did that happen?
Yeah. Oh man, I don't even I the I don't really know how they got a hold of us, but I think it's because of ASCAP, and 'cause we're registered through ASCAP, and the music director just gave us a call and wanted to know if we would send him some music. And you know, obviously we're like, "Oh, sure, man." And he's like, "Is it within your power to give us instrumental tracks?" And it was easily since I had the session. So we gave him those, and he said if we give him those, then he'll be able to use them a lot more. And I think they put it on Pimp My Ride as well, which, you know, the show names are just ridiculous. I don't have MTV, but one of our friends in Pittsburgh recorded the show that the Miss 17 that it was on and sent it to us. It's pretty funny. And they did use it in an all instrumental track, so it's cool that we sent them those
Cool.
because they make better sound beds anyway.
Well, I think that's about all I have at the moment, which is pretty much all I have for the interview. I think I'm going to close out the interview playing your Enya cover.
Cool.
Could you tell me how that decision to cover that track came about?
You know, like when we started the band, I think when I first met Alex, when he came over to my dorm when I first got a hold of him, we were talking about the band, and we were like, we both like, yeah, this song would be sweet to do a cover of someday. And a few years later, we were just, when we all lived together in the same house, you know, which is really cool because you can just wake up on like Monday morning and play if you want. We just kind of figured that, well, we might as well give it a try. And we kind of came up with our own little rendition of it. And everybody really, really likes it. So that's cool.
Yeah. What other songs were on that list of cool songs to cover?
Let's see. Well, we do a David Bowie one, Space Oddity. That was the old cover we did before we started doing the Any one. We don't have a whole, those are really the only two we play, but we also thought about, I think a Toto song. Africa.
So is that one going to be on the new album?
No. That one was shot down. What was that one called? Simon and Garfunkel song. We would obviously do our own rendition of any of these. So
yeah.
It wouldn't be quite as cheesy as Toto's version or probably not as chilled out as Simon Garfunkel's version, but those are the only ones that come to mind, although I know we've chatted about other ones.
All right. Well, I think that is it, unless you have anything else you want to touch on or share with everybody.
Nothing comes to mind, Phil.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's give it up, 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 let's give it up